recording's going.
Did you tell him? Sure. Oh, it's an extra one. Yeah, it was an extra one. That's gold right there.
Okay.
You're lucky I found it.
Oh, that's just a one page.
Okay, you've got... This must be part of it.
What's up?
No, this is as always. When you guys approve is, you know, the update and everything, give them a noise restriction. Yeah, exactly.
Good idea.
So it's going to be a long meeting now, Alice.
Did you hear that?
What's up?
It's all us. They put a noise restriction on it.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of complaints.
Yeah, but I mean, he's already got an option in his still, not in the written plan, but when he presents himself tonight, I'll get him to tell you how he's redesigning, he's moved the stage, he's going to fence in, so the band will be facing the mountain, so we totally enclosed.
So it's going to be a different...
The direction of the music will be redirected.
Okay.
So when he gets up tonight to do his plan.
I think that would be a good thing, too. This is an organized issue.
Okay, we're going to bring this meeting to order. Can we get a roll call, Gary?
Sir?
Here.
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Here.
Tim? Here.
Okay, can we get an approval of the agenda as written?
I move that we approve the agenda as written.
Get a second?
I'll second it.
Gary?
Sure.
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to do an approval of four prior meetings, and we're going to do them one at a time. So bear with us a little bit. Can I get a motion to approve the special meeting Tuesday, February 7th, 2017 minutes?
I so move.
I second.
Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And Susan?
Yes.
Okay, can I get a motion to approve the special meeting minutes for Tuesday, February 14th, 2017?
I so move.
Get a second?
I'll second.
Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Yes.
Tim? Yes.
Okay, can I get a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes for Tuesday, February 21st, 2017?
I so move.
I'll second.
Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay, can we get a motion to approve the special meeting minutes for Tuesday, February 27th, 2017?
Make a motion we approve the minutes as written.
Get a second?
I'll second it.
Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
I abstained.
You abstained, Tim?
I wasn't there, I didn't think. Yeah, I wasn't there.
Okay. Okay, Gary, the financial report, item A, budget hearing.
All right, budget hearing, that's a supplemental budget for the ice house dredging. $500,000 in there for that. And they have that for the budget.
Okay.
I make a motion to accept the supplemental budget hearing for action.
And I'll second that.
Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay, item B under financial report, the appointment of the budget committee for an action item.
I'd like to nominate Angie Christian, Tom Bean, and...
That's right. You have to abstain.
Why?
I'll show you.
Why do I have to abstain?
Here's what? Do you know where this is?
So, Roy?
Yes.
Can I speak up for a second?
Sure.
So, earlier Roger asked me about how many members need to be on our committee. After you asked me that, Roger, I investigated this, so we got to have at least as many committee members as the board is, so we need five. So if we have less than five, then we basically have to say why we have less than five. So we got five, so I don't think we need to vote, we need to accept these five applicants.
So I have a question. Don't people have to apply before we accept them? So all these people have applied? Okay.
Yes.
I've seen a couple of applications is all.
So you want...
Do we have
them
listed in here,
or
is
approved?
We got an email on them.
Page 14. What's that?
I got an email on all of them.
Yeah.
Page 14.
Okay. I found it. We don't have our notebooks, that's why it's kind of hard.
Did fill that paper.
Okay, so we got all these applications. I saw two of them. How many people are currently on the budget committee?
Zero.
Okay, so we're going to have five.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Equal number
plus
one.
Right, John. So
do you need a motion?
Yes. Can we get a motion to adopt the five candidates and to form our budget committee?
I move that we accept the five candidates that put in their applications for the budget committee.
Okay, I'm going to, before the second, I'm going to read the five candidates' names.
Thank you.
John Brazil.
Maybe you could have him stand if they're here.
Yeah, if you want to stand and introduce yourself to the crowd.
Pardon?
If you want to stand as I call your name, please. John Brazil. Richard Contestable. Hope I got that right.
That's fine.
Is there a Richard here? Richard Constable? Contestable? Thomas Bean, Angie Christian, did I get that right this time?
Yes, I like it.
And Barbara Ciramella.
Yes.
Number one, thank all of you for volunteering for that. We get a motion now, we get a second. We have a motion. Can we get a second?
I'll second it.
Gary, roll call.
Sure.
Yes.
Roger?
I have to decline because of a lawsuit.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay, draft audit report action.
Make a motion, we pass the draft audit. The motion is written.
We get a second?
I'll second that.
Gary? Sure. Any discussion first from the board? Okay, Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay, moving on to old business. There are no old business for tonight. So we'll go on to new business. And would like to introduce Mr. Richard Heap. And for those of you who don't know Richard, he comes once a year to our meetings and describes our upcoming salmon seasons. So glad I'm not you tonight, Richard. But we want to thank Richard for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I don't have any good news tonight on salmon, I can tell you that. But let me give you just a little brief background of where we are this year. The Klamath River escapement is estimated, this is a natural area escapement, is estimated at 12,800 fish. By rule, the minimum escapement number in the Klamath River is 40,700. We're allowed to harvest 8% of that by rule, which is about 1,000 fish. So we're talking about spreading 1,000 Klamath fish between Cape Falcon and Mexico.
Whoa.
Good luck. This is a result of primarily two factors, the ocean conditions, which have been poor over the last several summers, and the infection rate on those out-migrating fish in brood years 2013 and 2014, which are the fish we're looking at now. The infection rate, and the infection is a parasite called Cirtomyxa shasta. The intermediate host for that is a polychaete worm that lives in debris in the bottom of the river, and as the river flows drop and the water heats up, those worms give off spores which infect the out-migrating fish. It's commonly found throughout the West in salmon areas. Its primary host is our salmon. And the normal infection rate on a salmon smolt might be one or two spores. And the Klamath in the last 2 years or the last 4 years, they've been as high as 100 per fish. So what happens is these little parasites get inside the salmon and they attack the digestive tract. They'll actually rupture the intestines. They substantially weaken the out-migrating fish. And they're going into poor ocean conditions, so we have very poor salmon survival. So that's what got us where we are. At the beginning of this process, this is a two-meeting process for the Pacific Fisheries Management Council. The first meeting is in March. In March, we identify the three alternatives that we take out for public review. In April, the council finalizes the season. So what we have now is not the season, it's the alternatives that are available for public review. As you'll hear, I'll tell you what the seasons are going to be because they're zero, pretty much. So, but at the beginning of this process, we get a letter from NOAA Fisheries that lays out all the constraints that we have to meet for the coming year on fish. With regard to the Klamath River, we're fishing in what's called a de minimis status. That means the estimated return is below the minimum escapement. So there are several rules that kick into place to allow us to do that. And the reason they implement those kind of fisheries is to take advantage of other stocks that are more abundant. In this case, the Sacramento. So the escapement on Sacramento is estimated to be about 246,000 fish. The minimum escapement in the Sacramento is 122,000. So there are some fish available. To put that number, 248,000 fish in perspective, the average escapement on the Sacramento is around 600,000. So it's not a glowingly good number, but it's better than nothing. So in order to access some of those fish, we go into a de minimis fishery, which we are in this year. The conditions that we have to examine under the minimus fishery include the potential for critically low spawner abundance, including considerations for substocks that may fall below crucial genetic threshold, meaning that there will not be enough adults returning to some of the tributary streams to meet the basic genetic requirements for the stock. We are in that situation in the Klamath and two tributaries. We also have to look at the indications of the marine and freshwater environment and whether the stock is currently approaching an overfished condition. By rules of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, a stock is considered overfished if the minimum escapement falls below the threshold for three consecutive years. Without fishing this year, we will fall below that for the third consecutive year, which means that the Klamath River will be declared overfished. And overfished does not necessarily mean it was because of fishing. That's the name for what happens when it just doesn't meet the requirements. What that does is it kicks off a rebuilding plan. So in the future, we will have to have higher escapement than 40,700 in order to rebuild the stock. So what I'm painting for you is a picture that's going to last for a while. Okay, so that's the conditions we are in. So for the recreational fishery from Cape Falcon to the Oregon-California border, we have a total of 120 Klamath fish to work with. When we came to looking at the season for the Klamath Management Zone, which is Humbug to the border, I started off with three options that ranged from probably 30 to 35 days down to a few days. It became pretty obvious by Saturday of the meeting that ended on Sunday, we weren't going to have any opportunity. So for the Klamath Management Zone, for Chinook, every option is zero. No retention of Chinook. In one option, we retained a March Flight Co. fishery, which would run from June 24th through the earlier of August 17th for a landed catch of 20,000 marked coho. So this would be a fish that would have to have a healed adipose fin clip. That's in one of the options. I think it's pretty doubtful at this point that even that will make it. Because even with a non-select Chinook fishery, there will be hooking mortality of Chinook during the coho season. So basically, we have no season here proposed for salmon other than that marked select fishery. The California zone is closed also for all recreational fishing and commercial fishing. And Cal Fish and Game has promised that they're going to approach their commission to close the recreational fishery in the Klamath River. So this is a pretty serious situation we find ourselves in. On the commercial side, no commercial fishing in the zone, either in Oregon or California. North of us, there are three season options from Cape Falcon to the Florence South Jetty, April 15th to May 31, June 17th or June 7th through 12, June 15th through 30, July 8th through 31, September 1 through 30, October 1 through 31. Option two is April 15th to May 26th, June 1st to the 6th, August 14th to 15th, and option three is closed. From the Florence South Jetty to Humbug Mountain, alternative one is closed. Florence South Jetty to Humbug Mountain and alternative two, April 15th through June 6th. And Florence South Jetty to Humbug Mountain, closed. So basically, there is very little opportunity for either commercial or recreational fishing. Yes,
but what happens to the tribes during this?
The tribes are allowed 50% share of what's available. So in one of the options, the total tribal catch could be no more than 746 fish. And the other alternative for them is about 300 fish. I talked to the tribal representative from the Hoopa Valley tribe and asked him, so what does that mean? And he says, well, that means that most likely they'll only have some ceremonial take and no commercial fishing whatsoever.
It seems like a very, very critical time in that fishery. And has anything been done to sort of correct the fatal rate of these fish coming downstream?
The Bureau of Reclamation and the power operator have been sued twice by the Hoopa Valley Tribe. They've lost both times. What the suit, the record of decision said that they had to start releasing water from Iron Gate Dam to try and scour the debris out of the channel.
And cool it down.
And cool it down. They refused to do that, or they failed to do that, I guess I should say. So they were sued again this year and lost again. So we have a brand new court decision requiring the operator to manage that, the water release to benefit the fish.
Right. And also, too, you got to understand the agricultural business in Oregon, meaning all the pot farmers back in the Applegate and everything are just sucking the streams dry. And how can a fish reproduce, you know, with that happening?
Well, on the right side of the Klamath River, the process of removing those dams is moving forward. They're scheduled to be removed in 2020. The money is in place. There's a nonprofit corporation set up that actually owns the dam now. And so it seems like there's a fairly large potential that the dams will come out in 2020 as scheduled. When that happens, then I'm not sure what the implications for the fishery will be. They won't be as bad as what they have now, but what we'll have to do in terms of allowing some set aside for rebuilding could be significant. I just don't know what that's going to be. The ocean conditions, I put a copy of the California Current Ecosystem Report. We get this every year from NOAA Fisheries. It's a very, very good read if you get a chance to go to the port and look at it. It's also on the PFMC website. It talks about everything that NOAA measures in the ocean, which includes temperature, dissolved oxygen, the food base, and they give an annual prediction as to the state of the California current. In the past 2 years, it has been rated as poor, meaning there were very little of the zooplankton available for salmon to eat.
What, 0 to 10?
What's that?
From 0 to 10?
Well, they
give you that 4?
No. They give you a rating of poor, neutral, and good. So it has been at poor.
Oh, poor. That's what you said.
This year it's rated at neutral. So the long-term forecast from NOAA was, this was as of September of last year, that the blob, the warm water blob, is gone, that the El Nino had been replaced by a mild La Nina, and they were not sure whether that La Nina would strengthen. I think all of us that have been here since October would tell you it probably has. This is a La Nina weather pattern we've been in. So if that's the case, then the ocean conditions are turning around. We'll go back to cool conditions, and we'll get back the zooplankton that are very valuable for salmon. These are called cold water copepods. There are two copepods that live in cold water. They're highly oily or full of lipids. They're very good for salmon. What we have now are warm water copepods. So the description they use is cold water copepods are the equivalent of cheeseburgers, and the warm water is the equivalent of celery. So that's how the fish react. So I, you know, right now we're kind of in a state of flux, and it will be at least a year until we turn this around.
I have found there has been one fish, all the fish that I've caught in there come out of the Sacramento River. They come out from Coleman Fish Hatchery. There hasn't been one Klamath fish that it was marked by the biology stuff in there. So I think you're putting too much weight on the Klamath River over the Sacramento River salmon that are coming out, and I think that is a biological mistake.
We manage these fish. It's difficult to deal with because it's hard to figure out where they're from, where they go, but they are coated wire tagged. And the clams, the Iron Gate hatchery tags at a constant fractional rate of 25% of all the hatchery fish have a coated wire tag in them. Sacramento River also tags from their hatcheries. I don't know what their rate is. I don't believe it's 25%. So we get an annual report on how many Klamath fish are harvested here. And we talked a little bit previous years about the Derby in September.
How are you getting that data? Are they marked? Do they have a?
They have an actual spin clip, and they have a coated wire tag.
Yeah, and the people are measuring.
When they're encountered here, that snout is cut off, and they're sampled.
I know. I come in, and everyone is a San Joaquin or it's a Sacramento fish.
Well,
they have not gotten one clam fish in 5 years.
We're not here to argue with Richard. We're not here to
help people figure out what this means. Okay, so if you look at the range from Cape Falcon to Monterey, basically, In the Klamath management zone in California, and I'm just using numbers to illustrate it, these aren't the actual numbers, but let's just say that in that zone, your chances of capturing a Klamath fish are 1 in 7. If you move to the Oregon portion, it's about 1 in 10. If you move north of Humboldt, it drops to about 1 in 25 to 1 in 30, and once you get north of Florence, it's like 1 in 50. As you range south in California, Fort Bragg actually harvests more Klamath fish than we do by a small margin. Then they start progressively going down as you go down. That's why, in years in which the Klamath is an issue, the zone gets hammered. I mean, we just have no way out. And I was going to mention credit card fish. We talked about that in relation to the September 15th. Every fish that's caught in the ocean after September 1st is considered a fish from next year. So if we catch fish in September and October, at the beginning of this process, we have to pay them back. So we've got two Klamath fish, one in September, one in October. That cost us 40 fish. By the time you do the expansion, it comes out to 40 fish. So right off the bat, we paid off 40 fish out of that 124 that we owe. That's basically how it works. But, I'm hopeful. If you remember 2008, we were closed. Remember 2012 was the highest returns on record in Sacramento and some of the highest in the planet. So this thing has a ability to be very resilient if we get the right conditions. But for this year, next year, I'm not very optimistic. I don't know if anybody in the Fort has talked about emergency, fishing emergency or disaster relief, those right. sorts of things, but that's certainly potential for the local community.
Right.
What impact is the Fujinoma Japanese radioactive stuff out?
No, the only fish that could possibly be affected by that would be albacore, and at this because albacore trans-Pacific, but at this point, no albacore that have been sampled in Oregon show any more than just background radiation. Our salmon swim strictly up and down the continental shelf. They do not extend to sea out to sea at all. So there's no impact.
When you were talking about the suits, you said they lost. I took they to be the Indians, but the Indians didn't lose. The power company lost.
The government.
They're not doing anything about it. They're just saying.
Well, what? The frustrating part of this is that they're going to have a set of rules. All these agencies have rules that require them to do certain things. They ignore them sometimes. Bureau of Reclamation, in my opinion, is the one that does that more often. But. So of course, they need to do something, and then it doesn't.
Thank you.
And Richard, can these people go online to the ODFNW and find this report, information?
If you want to look at the stuff the council sees, you go on pcouncil.org. That will get you to the PFMC website, and then you go into council operations. Go to the March meeting and look at the briefing book, and that report that I talked about, that California Current report, plus everything else that we see is in that online for you to look at. You can also then look at the season package, the alternative package that comes out.
But also the ODFNW website, you click on it and go to the salmon tags or cut out of brookings.
You can, yes, if you want to look at what your salmon tag is. If you've got a Cotawara tag, you can go on OBFW with the number they gave you. That's a snout tag number, and it'll tell you where your fish came from. I caught two Cotawara tag fish. One was from the American River, and one was from the McCallany Hatchery. So.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Heath.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll have better news in a couple of years.
Yeah, well, last year you said 3 years.
I did.
You said 3 years is not looking good, so.
And I hate to be right on that.
Yeah. Appreciate you coming. Thank you. Okay. For all the fishermen that was here tonight, did you hear he mentioned disaster funding? So, keep that in mind. Okay, we're gonna move to new business, which is item B, which is the CBN lease amendment action for a new visitor center. I hope people are stopping by there and checking it out. She's got a wonderful thing going on there. She had a Wonderful grand opening. A lot of people stopped by there. So we're going to see if we can get a motion to approve the CBN lease amendment. Can we get a motion?
I so move.
Can we get a second?
I'll second it.
Gary, roll call.
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
I have to excuse myself because of a lawsuit she brought against me personally.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay. Item C, Hallmark lease for action.
I make a motion we accept Hallmark leases.
Can we get a second?
I'll second that.
Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, can we get a motion for Bandon Pacific lease for action?
I'll make a motion that we accept the Bandon lease.
I'll second that.
Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay, Zola's lease is up for action tonight, but we had a prior meeting, one of our special meetings, and we had Ian come in and give the board a quick proposal presentation. Two of our board members were not there, so I asked Ian to bring his packet to this meeting. And
what's that? It's in our packet.
Well, no, but there's some stuff in there. I would like Ian for you to stand up if you would,
sure.
And come up here and face the audience, maybe where Mr. Heath was standing, and particularly on your, you mentioned one thing. We talked so much, I don't remember if it had it in there, but the music, how you redirect. Kind of go through the whole thing real quick,
sure.
But make sure you mention that music part, how you've redirected that and the fence and. Closed in and a different structure to...
Definitely. So it's kind of two-part. We have a storage need, just running out of space. We have a storage need, and then we have a proposal to change our patio to enclose the tables that are sitting out there and to move our stage over to change the direction. Right now the stage sits right up against the building and faces the river. We want to enclose the patio where all the tables are and face the stage the other way where it faces the highway. It does two things. One, obviously with the music challenges of years past, it kind of supports that and creates a different direction there, but also the traffic that flows between our building and the river. It just creates a more structured section that separates our patio versus the actual parking lot itself. So the proposal is to close that section in with the fence to have a patio. Our tables will sit there, and in doing that would move the stage to a different direction. So that's the proposal for the actual patio area. In regards to the storage and our needs, we are out of refrigeration storage and just general storage, so there's that. And then we have a section that sits on our building that's a boat. It's an old wheelhouse that whoever's been here for a long time can tell me when it happened, but they put this wheelhouse on the end of the building. Over the years, it's leaked, and we've patched and fixed, and it's just getting to a point where we can't patch and fix anymore. In that is our dry storage. We have just boxes, canned items, things, just dry storage. We need to move that out. With losing that space, we added that building that you see down there. We added that to allow for the storage to come out of the boat and for the boat to be torn down. We need to remove that boat. It sits on the exterior of the building. So there's a door right there. Remove the boat, and then in turn bring in a refrigeration unit to increase our cold storage. We just don't have the space and the old infrastructure on the inside, so our options were to look at our space and what we could bring in. We've looked at exterior walk-in coolers, and we've looked in the description of the packet. We've looked at like shipping containers that have been converted into refrigeration units. And that's what that proposal is for an actual shipping container that's converted into a refrigeration unit. In addition to that, if you pass between Zola's and Slugs and Stones, there's a fence on our property. Right on the other side of the fence are propane tanks, some of our recycling and things like that. The fence is only 3+ feet high, and we're proposing to increase the height of that fence a couple of feet. I forget the dimensions in the pack, another 2 feet, I believe, just to change the visual so you're not looking at propane tanks when you walk through, and it just kind of creates a separation between our space and that public walkway.
Well, that's great. Your business is doing so well that you have to expand. That's wonderful.
Appreciate that.
And I'm also hoping that the music thing gets fixed.
And in response to that, not only the stage, you know, as far as our PA system and things that we've done, we've decreased it tremendously. The PA that we used prior to was meant for a large venue that we turned down. The PA that we use now is for a small venue that we don't have to turn up.
That's good.
So it would definitely decrease the amount of flow that it happens, and then change in the direction, I feel would help tremendously as well.
That's good.
Thank you, Ian. Any other questions for Ian? Sharon? Roger?
I think he answered the questions.
Tim, you have a question?
Two questions. Just the 124. Is that our new adjusted rate?
I thought
we were 105. Are we now down to 124?
The lease back that I received had a.
But 124 is his current price. That's CPI increase over the years.
CPI.
All at once.
This is a renewal.
No. That's just a continuation. A CPI increase over what he had before.
Okay, but if he had a new lease, he'd be paying 105.
If he was a new vendor, yes, or a new retail. But he's an existing.
And I don't see that. This is somewhat related to the question coming from the hair studio, but in any case, the other question was, this doesn't seem to have the takeover of the building at the end of the lease, like some of the other leases have.
That's a port building.
A new building. It's going to be owned by the port?
You're talking about the old building? The old store?
The new building has come in place.
The storage building.
Correct. That's what he's talking about.
Looks like it.
That's it. That's his. That's just a storage building.
He bought that and paid for that, Tim.
I understand that. Well, we typically absorb that at the end of the lease. I don't like the idea, but it's what we usually do.
It's movable. I don't think the port needs to have another.
I agree. I agree with you. I'm just saying, though, some of our leases have this suck-up clause in it.
Well, if it's movable, I don't think we need to worry about it.
Okay.
And I think those are older leases, aren't they, Tim?
Yeah.
I hope they're older leases, but this is an older lease too. Renewing an older lease.
Well, those other buildings were.
But as they come up, that will be on there.
Okay. All right, we don't want to do anything about the 124.
I wouldn't. That's his current CPI increase over the years.
Okay, if he cancels his lease and start up again.
Well, it's up to the board if they want to accept him leaving and coming back.
I make a motion that we accept the lease as written now, and he makes his improvement and amend his lease.
Okay, with discussion here for just one moment, Roger. John.
Mr. Chairman, I just recommend that maybe some wording be changed in the items 1, 2, and 3. Possibly, it's just kind of confusing to me, like the $1.24 per month.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It has a total. Maybe it could be referenced to maybe square footage or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be just a wording change.
Yeah, I noticed that.
The same thing for item 2 and item 3. If you try to read that.
Good catch, John.
Is this lease going to reviewed by the attorney?
What's that?
Has this lease been reviewed by your attorney?
No, unless you want it to be reviewed by the attorney.
Based on his last lease, I do. You better not have him reviewed.
You think what, sir?
Based on the last lease he did, I would recommend that he not do it.
As well, what grounds?
I'm going to, I don't know if it's going to come up in new business or not, but I'm going to recommend we search for a new attorney. The lease for BC Fisheries was such an awful lease. If he reviewed that, he should be fired. That's my, obviously, that's my opinion.
Who refused it?
Who? Coffey reviewed it, apparently. Or said the, at the meeting, he said he reviewed it. Mm-hmm. Now, you like the release, and I don't like the lease, so that's an issue. But I think it's the worst lease ever written. So, therefore, I'm going to suggest that we look for a new attorney. And I also like one that could come here without having to pay him $1,000 to drive, make the drive from Coos Bay to here. I think we need somebody local, or at least from Crescent City.
Well,
I realize we're off the subject on that, but.
Okay. So.
I'm okay with this lease the way it is. Zoa is doing a great job. I have no problem with them and their operation so far. It's not this, quite the same situation as the other one, but. So I won't, I'm okay with it. Let's get it done and. Can we approve it subject to making the wording changes so we don't have to come back? He doesn't have to come back for another trial at the lease.
Okay, Roger made a motion. You want to repeat that motion?
Can I ask him a question, please?
Sure.
You still plan on painting the refrigerator unit so it will blend in better down there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we already have a bid in for even the new building. Once we get approval, we can move forward to get it painted so it blends in. And then anything we add to the outside.
Thank you.
For sure. Thank you.
Great. That's good.
Okay. I make a motion we approve his lease as written now, and when he does his improvement, we amend his lease at that time for the new square footage he's using.
Okay. Can we get a second on that?
It'd be 10 more feet.
Correct.
The square footage you have for the current boat is basically 10 by 10. Mm-hmm. Our unit's 20 by 10.
Right.
Okay.
And it takes up the footprint of the boat. Plus. Okay.
Cool. I second it.
Gary, roll call.
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then if I can just, and if it needs to happen later with Gary, just conversation on when we can move forward with the boat. As the rain comes, it's definitely an issue too. Mm.
That's his job.
Got it. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay, moving to item F, J. Sloan lease. Tabitha's here tonight. Tabitha, did you want to speak?
Do you want me to?
If you want to.
Okay, great.
If you can stand up here where Ian was. And just kind of introduce yourself to the crowd, who you are, what business you have, maybe.
I'm Tabitha Wilson, the owner of J. Sloan Hair Studio down here at the port. I want to first start off by saying how much I love being at the port. I am, and probably say the same thing too, we feel like a family. I'm right in the middle of a good little section. So I in the past year, I know I've spent a good bit of money just by putting flowers out, making it look beautiful for Flora Pacifica, and that's how much I love the area. But I happened to stumble across something that really, I'm thankful that I stumbled across it because I had my lease, and my lease was, I'm not quite sure why, I'm just a little confused with my lease, so that's why I'm here. My lease has now been adjusted, but the base rent pretty much with everybody surrounding me is $1.05. It's going to be increased a little bit more from here on, but it was $1.05. And I've been paying $1.23 for the past 4 years. So basically, I'm just confused of why I was up a little bit, I mean, a lot more than everybody else. I mean, it's a good 18 cents per square foot for me. And I don't know, I'm just thankful I stumbled across it, because I would have been paying 25 cents for more, I mean, more. So, you know, at least it came down a little bit for me, but still, you know, there is a difference. And, you know, I just want to know what the guidelines are. I guess that's really what I'm boiling down to. What are the guidelines to make one person pay more than another person down at the court when we're pretty much everybody's paying the $1.05 as base rent? So, I don't know. I just feel a little bit taken advantage of this for ways. I don't know why. I just.
Gary, you want to help out here?
Yeah, well,
Gary's been going over all the leases. He had 17 leases put in his lap that were not current, they were outdated, they were different this, different that. And Gary is working very diligent to get all the leases concurrent. I mean, and as Tim noticed, you know, some just weren't the same in Ian's lease as it was last time. These things have been out of whack for so long, it may take Gary a very long while to get them back in sync.
Once I found out Gary was right there, he was like, hey, yeah, you bet, let's sit down right now. And
yeah,
and so that's why he was like, you probably want to come here tonight and just sort of explain it.
But yeah, go ahead, Gary.
So the long-term tenants, their CPI increased the rent over the years. So they're going to be higher than the new guy. The new tenant comes in, we establish $1.05 per square foot. That's the difference.
See, I was new. I just came in. I didn't buy Trust Effects. I came in with a different name, repainted everything. So that was what just sort of changed it for me, because I didn't buy. I purchased my own name.
You pay your own sewer?
Yes, I have $49 every month.
You pay to parts of Sam.
She pays it to us.
To pay to you. So and pay the power. It. I have a bathroom,
have no
so I pay the
measure.
Power, I pay the water, I pay the tax, I pay the square footage of the bathroom.
Should measure the suit.
$49.13 yeah, or something like that. Yeah. Water paid for the year is $592.92.
Wow.
That's for the year.
So, Gary, could we go back and figure out what she would have paid at $1.05 for that first year and then do the secret? Okay, well, then that's good.
But so, where her CPI would be from the time she took over the lease?
That's sort of true. It held a little bit, but I don't know if anybody. I mean, you probably want to figure it out too yourself, but basically if I had $1.05, basically I've had it for about 4 years and I've paid if I had paid the $1.05, you know, I would have paid $42,084 something another for the past 4 years. But with the for the $1.23 that I've been paying, I paid $49,000. That's a difference of $7,214 that I paid over for the time that I've had Jay's Lawn Care Studio.
But you haven't had a rent increase since you've been there, is that correct?
I had, when we first had Jay Sloan, the year after, I think it was increased by the financial female that we had.
Yeah.
Okay, so she drew up that one and increased it a tad bit. So it made it to $1.23. And so that's what I've been, is $1.23. And paying the water and the electrical and tax on it.
So you've been there for 4 years of one increase.
Yes.
So if you multiply that 5%, the CPI times three more years, you're probably right about there.
Well, everybody was paying $1.05 base the whole time. Nobody really had an increase.
Not everybody.
Okay, I'm sorry. I guess lawns and the nearest right probably different.
There has been a lot of discrepancies.
I don't know really what is there a guideline that we can see what others and what the guidelines
there
are
is
what
now.
Is?
Oh, there we is have now. Established
okay because I didn't know if salons or whatever or if somebody if they have a view of the ocean if they pay more I don't know if you have more windows do you pay?
No.
I didn't know I was just like okay what is mine so much
so
different
maybe just a suggestion and we'll see what the board wants to do. So when a person comes into a lease, because Jay Sloan was Trust FX, that started when? It started, matter of fact, my ex-wife started that
I
place.
I know, yeah.
So it's been there.
I did not want Trust FX at all. I was not wanting Trust
but
FX.
What year was that brand new? That was
I have
that?
No idea.
93. Seems to be 1993 or something to that effect, but
it was about 97 when them buildings were finished. Because I was
when they were finished.
Well, when I came, they weren't done when I came home in 95. The 40-year anniversary of the port, whatever the year that was, I remember that thing about the buildings. About 98.
So, I guess what I'm asking is somehow, are the other leases that are that old? Are they all going to go to this, end up at this $1.20 range as they come due?
Yeah, after so many years of CPI increases, yes.
Okay. So in the 4 years, you've had it to have it the 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
So it, like Rogers?
2013.
So the CPI charges in 4 years, were you at $1.05 when you started?
Mm-mm, never. When I started, it was $1. It was $1.20. Then it went to $1.23 in the middle of that. So, the next year, it changed a little bit because of all that with the financial person that was here. So I've been $1.23 pretty much 3 years, and $1.21 for 1 year. So.
And you're going to $1.25.
I'm going $1.25, but see, when I first found out about my lease, it was $1.32. That's why I was sort of alarmed, because I was $1.23, and then boom, it went to $1.32, and I was just like, is that everybody's lease doing this? I don't understand. I'm completely confused. And then I talked to Gary, and I guess y'all had a meeting and changed it to $1.25. But then I started noticing, wait a minute, everybody adjacent to me was $1.05. They've been $1.05. And I'm like, why didn't I start at $1.05 when I purchased the salon?
What do you want from the port?
What would I like from the port? I'd like to see some guidelines. I'd like to be readjusted and
the guidelines $1.25 now, that's what it's going to be.
Okay.
You want money back from the port for being overcharged or what? I mean, I don't
think that's what she's asking about. I think she's asking for...
There hasn't been any overcharge. $1.32 is because utilities were included into the rate.
Okay.
So we've talked the utilities out, it goes back down to $1.23, and then the CPI increase at 2.1%. Okay. Goes up to $1.25.
Okay.
See, I didn't know that. I've just always been charged.
Okay. Utilities were combined by the state.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I've always been paying the $49 a month for water. But my question is, see, this is no fault of anybody here. It was when Ted was here, and he's the one that drew up my first contract, and he put it at $1.20 something, but I didn't know any different. I thought that's what everybody paid. I didn't know that there is a, you know, ask for base rent. I didn't know that. And I mean, does it work to my benefit to move out to come back? I mean, that would be silly. That would be craziness if I was to do something like that. But I would like $1.05. I've never owned a business before, and this is my first adventure, and you know, I need every penny I can get, and to know that I spent $7,000 more than what it was.
Plus electric.
Yeah. Plus electric and the taxes on that and everything else. And I bought a salon that was failing, and I rebuilt this salon by myself, and I'm here to just get some grace from this.
Businesses are hard to grow. I own one myself.
Yeah.
So they take time.
Right.
So, Gary, somewhere you have in place these guidelines. I mean, you've been making everything current. I do know that.
We do now.
Okay. We do now. We voted last month.
2 months ago, right. The board approved the...
That's what I'm getting at. So
it was just approved.
I make a motion we accept her lease or at the $1.25 point, whatever it might be, $1.25 per month. Through 2000, whatever it is, 2020.
Three-year
lease. Is this even?
Because, I mean, that's the lease I have now, and I mean, I really didn't need to come here tonight if I was going to keep it at $1.25. I would like to know I could go down to $1.05.
It's the same issue as Zola's. We do it, we make that change here, we have to go back to everybody. It's the same issue as Zola's. There's no difference. Just the number's different, but the reasoning is the same.
Is it a possibility to wipe out the CPI for her for the next, how many years have you been here?
Four.
And then that way, what do you think, Gary?
Well, we did wipe it out for 3 years. We haven't raised her rate for 3 years.
But she was getting the wrong rate, is the point.
Well, I think we could logically go back and do it like the leases for the boats. It may have to be 20% increase in order to catch up. Not 20, 12.
Then, if she wants a different rate, maybe she should put a water meter on. We read it and charge her for the water and sewer, because what water comes in that port, we pay the sewage going out. So every drop of water you use, we're getting charged sewage going out.
Am I the only one that has a bathroom? No?
You're a few. You have bathrooms. But we do have a meter already in there, which we read every month.
Water meter.
Okay, so thank you, Tabitha.
Okay, thank you.
I got a motion on the table.
So motion on the table by Roger. Is there any more discussion from the board? Tim, you good?
I'm good. I do have, yes, but the $1.05 right now, is that CPI from last year? What was it last year?
The CPI for last year?
No. The rate for last year.
We didn't have one. We just established one this year. So
that's this year, and we're going to go. Okay. So next year it'll be. If a certain person started today at 105 or whatever it is, our rate next year should be the same as their rate next year. Our new rate would be the same as a tenant on the second year, because they're going to be CPI to the same number.
Yeah, and the CPI is 2.1%. So
2.1.
That's what it was this last year. So if someone started new right now, it would be $1.05 until whatever the CPI is for this current year comes out.
That's what I'm saying. So it would be 105. Next year it'll be 105 added in by the 2. Whatever the CPI is. But that's going to be the same. That number will be the same as our starting rate next year.
That's if the board approves it. I think we need to review it every year with our base rate needs to be.
Okay.
Is there a cap on that? So one day it could be,
Whatever the rate is the rate. It's the CPI Northwest rate, I think it's called. It's a specialist, not a true CPI.
Back in days gone by, it was 11% one year.
20.
In the olden days.
How much percent?
About 20% was the CPI.
That's right, when Carter was in.
And so nowadays it's down to 2.1?
Yeah.
Man, we are loving Trump.
Last year.
That's pretty amazing. Okay, so Roger had a motion to accept the lease as written.
She had a question.
Angie?
Just as a business owner, what makes sense to me
if I came in this year and it said $1.05 is my square footage, and I know I have a CPI index, and it goes up next year, then if my sister comes in next year, she should not be paying the $1.05, she should be paying the $1.23, is what makes business sense to me. You can't have everyone come in at $1.05 while these people that have been loyal to you and paying rent all these years have been increasing and increasing every year with the CPI index. Every year that you increase your CPI, your rent for new tenants coming in should increase. That's what makes sense to me.
I think Gary was agreeing with that, but he said beyond that, the board still has to approve the rate.
Correct.
As opposed to a lease that's going to go up whether the board says yes or no.
That should be something yearly that the board should address when the CPI index comes
out. That's what Roger.
The only reason that I think maybe it might make sense to have the $1.05 is to help that business establish itself. That would be the only reason. But I could see your reason.
Sue,
too.
Every new business comes in and we give them free rent for 2 or 3 months.
Not every, but some.
No, every. I've seen, I don't know of everyone that has it.
Not every.
I saw people get big chunks.
Okay, so do we have a second on the table?
I'll second it, and I think we need to readdress the coming in rents. But that has nothing to do with this motion.
Okay. Gary, can we get a roll call, please?
Sure. Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Mine's week two, yes. Mine's not sure. I do think, put that down, I do agree with Sue that we need to, like we have all these other resolutions, something like that should be firm.
Maybe we can direct Gary to work on that.
We can get.
Well, I think
that's not an action item, but maybe we could direct him to get something.
But Gary is already working on that.
Mm-hmm. Worry about it.
But I have to agree with Angie. It's got to be fair across the board coming in.
Okay, moving on to new business. G, vendors at the RB Park for action. And I don't know... if we have enough information, Gary and I met today, and do we want to table that, Gary?
He's going to check.
For non-action?
I can give a brief update. Oregon Parks and Recreation, they told us today, if we want vendors in the RV park, they must fill out an application through them. They have to approve it. And whatever funds we get from that concession, hot dog stand, whatever, needs to stay within the RV park. So the funds can't be transferred over to some other part of the park.
But you know, the RV park needs a lot of renovation, so yes. I don't think that would that would be a no-brainer to leave it there.
I think I'd like to table it because in the RV parks I've been up down your coast owned by ports, I've never seen a vendor in one.
Is that a reason not to pioneer something here?
Well, and how much are we going to charge him?
Right, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We need more information because this.
If we allow my question is, this is strictly an RV park, not to be one in any place else in the park property. Is that what we're looking at?
Right.
Now, I don't have any problem with a vendor being out there, but I think what's this insurance policy going to be? What are we going to require an insurance policy? And how much we're going to charge him?
I don't think it should be less than what Harry Vinn people are paying.
No, it should be more.
Yes.
My suggestion, if we're going to do it, he needs $100 a day and a $2 million in a policy. And that we're required at other places to have that kind of insurance.
It's food. Yes. They get sick. We don't want to be liable to them.
Okay, we have a question from the audience. John Marcel? John?
No. Part of the question that I hear here is that we had a vendor down there before based off of the loan requirements and the state park requirements. We were asked for that vendor to leave. And that was postponed for a few years, and then it...
But I don't think clarification was ever given, John, for that vendor being...
And I would think, all I'm saying, on that issue, I would think that you need to have some time to really understand what that application process is and what the guidelines would be for it and so forth before you move forward.
And that was...
I'd see you to table this for more...
Right, and that was initiated with the State Parks Recreation Department today. So that was the initiation today for tonight's meeting. That's why I asked, you know, we want to table this and get more information on it.
I would think that would be the right thing to do.
I move that we table it and get more information before we bring it back.
You get a second?
I second it.
Gary?
I have a question.
Discussion by Tim.
If we're going to say no, no matter what the answer is, we should say no and not have Gary deal with this. If the deal is right, according to Trump, are we going to accept it? But if we're going to say no, let's not spend Gary's time dealing with it.
That's basically what my question is. Does the board even want me to go into this? Right now, we got to go jump through the hoops with the state to just get accepted. And if we don't do the funding right, we could get in trouble with the state.
So you're asking the board to direct you, Gary, by action?
Yes. If
to pursue or not to pursue?
Correct.
Okay. So, want to make a motion on that?
Well, the motion was just to table it until we get further information.
Okay, can we get a second on that motion?
I think we already got one, Roger.
I have a second.
Okay, Gary.
Okay, so which one? What is this going to be for?
For to table it and have you get more information.
Okay. All right, Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
No.
Roy, I think you ought to check with the state and see what their application looks like before you go to spend too much time on it.
Okay. We've asked for a copy of it.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to move on to item H, which is sports C and D dot conditions and plan for action. What action are you asking from the board tonight on this?
I'm asking for
two options, right?
Yeah, I'm looking for option 2B. That's closing the dock down to slip 19 and 20 on C dot, and then closing.
The slips down to 20-31 on B dock. Gary, what if they become unsafe and you have to keep on going down?
And then we just keep on closing it.
Okay. So which one do you think is?
2B is what I recommend.
I'll make a motion. We do 2B for Gary to do 2B. As an action.
I'll second that.
Gary?
Sharon?
Question.
There's some discussion here.
Tim has a... Go ahead, Tim.
We make more money on B, but what's the risk on B as opposed to A? A must be less risky, right?
Yes, it's less risky, but then you got to move more boats out of the way.
Mm-hmm. I understand. So you think it's reason you... I don't know why you even brought this up, but why B is a good thing? Because it...
Well, it's keeping more boats where they need to be, where they already are. You won't have to relocate them.
Well, why don't you ask us this question? I guess that's my question.
What's that?
Why'd you bother asking us this question?
Because I feel it's the board's responsibility to tell me what to do.
It's a safety issue.
Exactly.
There's less boats out up. Less boats out on the end, Tim.
Well, if it's less risky, we should be doing A, not B.
Well,
B is more risky. It takes out less boats.
But it's where they're located. They're located to the east end of the dock.
I just don't think you should ask the question.
But at 19 and 20 on C is stable to that point, right?
At this time, it is.
Right. Okay. So then we're going to be able to block that off so the public can't get beyond that somehow.
Yep.
we put the barricades up.
Okay. Because we would want anybody to fall in.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table to accept 2B on action item H. Can we get a second?
I already seconded it.
Okay. Can we get a roll call, Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
I have to say this. To be or not to be is the question. Yes.
Tim?
Abstain.
Tim, if you sustain,
clarify what was just which item it was that you just voted for.
2B.
2B on page 51 of your packet, if you have your packet in place.
Was your question right?
It's on page 51. Just to let you know.
Okay. Tim, on ORS 244.120, when a commissioner declines, he has to define his why he's declining.
I can't make a decision on that.
Okay.
Can't make a decision.
Okay.
Okay. There's a big sailboat down the line dock still. Can we get that moved someplace?
Roy, can you repeat what you just said?
Pardon me, Daisy?
Can you repeat what you just said?
When an elected official...
What page are you on?
This is off the computer, Daisy. This is ORS.
Oh, okay.
So if an elected official declines to answer because of conflict of interest or for whatever reason he declines, he or she... Just saying conflict of interest is not proper by ORS 244.120, Daisy.
So what it's saying is you need to be specific.
Correct.
You have to explain.
I didn't raise the question of conflict of interest.
The reason.
Right, but you declined to answer.
What does it say then? What are you reading, Roy?
Right here. I handed that down to you.
I know I have. What letter are you reading?
You don't have the page in your hand.
Here. Is that the circle one or the other?
Yeah.
It's the circle one.
Yeah. Mine, I can't see the 50.
They don't see it.
It's just going to bug you.
I wish somebody would read it to them.
It says if a conflict of interest does arise. There's no conflict of interest. I'm not challenging based on a conflict of interest.
Okay.
I'm counting on that. I don't know the answer to this question. I can just accept Gary's recommendation.
Okay.
You don't feel good about it.
It's 4-1. It's 4-1 anyway.
Okay, we're gonna move on to item I.
Doesn't he have to take a roll call on
it? He already did.
Oh, he did. Okay. I lost track. Sorry.
I don't have to do it because it's not a conflict of interest. I don't have to do anything except.
You're okay.
You good, Tim?
Okay.
Go for it. Next action.
Okay. Item I, resolution 471, mortgage license agreement is going to be postponed to a further meeting.
Okay.
Why are we postponing?
Gary?
So the reason I want to postpone this, we need to add more language in this agreement. We're having problems with people when they pay on over the phone without signing the agreement. So I'd like to put in this agreement that we're going to send out notices 60 to 90 days prior to the renewal. Then after 30 days after the renewal date, if they don't sign it, then it's terminated.
Okay, no problem.
I just wanted to.
So could they have an option to fax it if they?
Sure.
All right.
Not everybody has a fax machine.
No, but
there's a lot of places to go. You can.
They could go to the bank. Too. Get it for free. At least my bank gets it for free.
Okay, moving on to item J. Gary, you wanna clarify why you wanna postpone item J tonight?
Yeah, so just recently I gave the board a spreadsheet that compared to other ports, their rates for daily, weekly, monthly, yearly mortgages. So I want the board to have a little more time looking at my spreadsheet so we can determine what we want to do. I also proposed a 5% increase just for 1 year and then revisit it the next year.
That's nice.
So anyway, that's why I want to postpone it. Just give it one thought.
Thank you.
There's a couple things on here I'd like to see, and one of them I had you brought up last month, but I'd like to see that all boats, no matter what basin they're in, are equal for price and for length. And does this apply, and I never ask Gary, does this apply to commercial boats, same to the 5% also?
Yes.
Okay. I also like to look at us people, the people that have electricity on the dock, that we should pay a little bit more because we have the availability of electricity. But I'd also like to see Gary look at, can we raise the cost per kilowatt used by a few cents to help pay for the labor it takes us to read the meters and send out the bills, which is perfectly legal for us because we're in a co-op and not in a PUD.
You ready?
And I do understand why it was different prices at one time.
Okay.
So do we read those meters monthly or something?
Yes.
I have a couple of people that have asked me, when do they pay their electricity?
When do we pay it? When do they pay it? When do we send
it? Because they've never had a bill.
Well, some people, their electric bill is like pennies, so we don't send out a bill for pennies.
They did me one time, it cost more cents a stamp than my bill was.
Of course, but when you pay your mortgage, I think you
could. I paid my bill at the end of the year. I paid my.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
Okay, so is there any further?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. How about a minimum fee for electric? $2 or something like that?
Yeah, that's what the electric company does.
Mm-hmm. Minimum fee for an electric meter, you have $2 and you. And then we could afford to send them the bill, and we could afford to read the meter, and if they go over, it's fine. You go under. That's one. And then two, on the rates themselves, I can't find my copy of the rates, but.
Do you want to look? It's on page 54.
But I would like to see, rather than saying the weekly is 1/6, whatever it says, something to that effect. And you know, I'd like to have a rate for each of those. My personal feeling, we have a rate for each of those guys. Weekly, daily, monthly. So it's just right there. It says, this is the calculation. There's no question about what 1/6 of yearly is. Our method we're using right now, I'm pretty sure that the rates don't calculate out right now anyway, but.
Yeah, I'd like to do it just a standard rate.
Standard rate for each of those things. It's not going to make any difference to you in your spreadsheet. Be down at the bottom like it is now. And anybody can calculate it.
Okay.
That's having plus with rates. But, and I can also say that in my calculations, the rates and your number of dollars, we're $100,000 off. I mean, what I think the total rate should be, something like $500,000. And what your bill last year, which is $350,000. So I don't know if I picked up a good file, reasonably good file that Danielle fixed, but it doesn't match up very well. So I just think, I'll be happy to spend some time on that issue with you, but I think there's a problem.
Yeah.
And it could be just tiny. Be timing your, a lot of people get billed at the end of the year and they don't pay the next year or whatever. Could be that.
Is that something you're aware of, Gary, or maybe you're working on that now? Or?
No, I've heard that part.
That's new news to you.
I hope I'm wrong.
That's pretty big.
Or actually, I hope I'm right. We could use the money.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
In reviewing the current mortgage rates on page. I guess it's 35, I can't be sure. Anyway, in regard to the lip boards,
I see that we currently charge $37, I'm assuming it's a month, yet other ports either have none or charge a lot more. Based on the amount of utilities that they use, not just electricity, but the water, as well as the bathroom facility, if they don't move their boat to pump it out, I would strongly recommend that the board seriously consider raising those rates.
Yeah, that's in that packet, Daniel. That's
I'm talking more than a 5% increase for those.
Right, right.
They need to be adjusted more appropriately.
Exactly. So, anyway,
I would like to see us do more liver boards.
I'm all for liver boards.
Consider doing more liver boards. Right now, we don't allow liver boards, but it seems to me that that's a place that we could be making some extra money. And I know that once in a while there's a problem, but now that we don't have the ice plant and the other one, we probably could spend more time in that. It seemed like a revenue generator, as well as a security plus.
Okay, Al, then we're going to move on.
Okay. I just want to make everybody aware of the fact that a liver board has to pay 25% more for his mortgage fee, and he pays his electric bill. So I don't see what the problem is with charging them more because they're staying on their boat. You're going to charge them. They already pay more.
It's Daniel.
He doubled it.
If you remember, Gary and I looked at for that today. And when I came to the board the very first year, it was 25% of your annual mortgage, right, Al?
Right.
Right. And that was how much per day? Just quickly, you're a math guy. Per month.
It's less than $10 a month or something like that.
Yeah, so then there was another one we found, and that's the one you're looking at $37.
Yeah, it's the one that's in the packet.
That's the one that's in the packet. So that is definitely being looked at.
Gary, well, something else I noticed, you sent us some information on charter boats and they're $50 per person. Why didn't Tidemans pay the $2,000 and the rest of them paid $300 for six packs and Tideman for 40 paid $1,000? Doesn't my math does not compute.
Well, I have to look into it.
You remember you sent me a deal, you sent us all an email on the charter boats, the $50 deal, and all the six packs paid $300, and Tidewitz paid $1,000. Year before, I think they paid $2,000. I don't understand why.
I don't know either.
It's per person, right?
It's $50 per the number of passengers they carry for the year.
Right.
So, the six pack, I know that Tidemans, all their boats together carry more than 20 passengers.
30.
Total?
I believe that's what Kyle told me. 30 or 38, one or the other. Because he's getting
He said 40.
Yeah, he's getting
down there 40. But 40 times 50 is $2,000.
Right.
And he's only paid $1,000.
Well, I don't know. I'm just.
Okay.
I don't
know. Asking.
I'm not in the office.
Well, we got an email on it. There was an email sent out on it last week.
I got that email.
So I'll just find out why.
Okay.
Next year we're right. Can't go backwards.
Okay, so resolution 474, commission rules and policy. That one's up for just review. Tonight, everybody got that and read it.
Yes.
Has it. So that will be coming up for an action item at a future meeting. Is there any discussion from the board on that resolution? Deb?
Sharon had that one. But what's the source of this document?
What's the source?
The source.
Okay, we got it from another board.
So it's not from SAO?
SDAO? No, they don't have anything like this.
We're putting this out there.
There's actually,
I got information from Port of Newport and Cyrus Law, and they both, you know, they're kind of like different formats, but they all say the same thing.
And I like Port of Cyrus Law because it's more like us.
Yes.
Size-wise, but commercial free. I didn't have a problem with it. Sue?
I'm fine with it.
Sharon?
No, I don't care.
Let's wait until the next meeting to make sure everybody has time to go through it.
Right. Does anybody on the board, do we want to have our legal counsel go over it?
I think we should have legal counsel go over it. I think it's worth the money.
I think so also.
Okay, so here we'll get Jim Coffey's opinion. Once it's all refined and amended and you're happy, we'll send it to Jim Coffey.
It might be good if we had comments from you, the board first, so right. That I could change it and instead of going back and forth to Coffey because it charges more money than down to
the right. Right.
Okay. I've gone through and highlighted just, you know, things to look at.
Okay, so we'll bring this up at the next special meeting.
How about this? If any commissioner has some questions or concerns, go see Gary individually.
That'd be great.
Yes. That'd be good.
You like that, Gary?
Okay. Actually, any commissioner can come see me anytime.
It just has to be with, it's just wordage.
Yeah, I sat with Gary about 2 hours every day after his 5 o'clock day. And he works 7 days a week, so he'll make time for anybody that has a question for him. New business, item M, SDIS board practice assessment.
I would like to see that done. I'll make a motion we have it done. I don't know what the cost.
No, I just want to make sure you get one here.
I think before we jump into anything, let's look at the cost, considering the situation we're in.
And that's what you're asking us to do tonight, right, Gary?
Yeah, if you guys don't want to do it.
Just direct you. We don't want to do it, don't do it. But you're voting yes or no to pursue it.
Yeah, for direction. I'm always spending time asking them if you guys don't want to do it.
Right.
Right.
Call up there and say it was a cost.
5,000?
I'm just guessing.
Okay.
Well, total guess.
Before I vote on it, I want to know how much.
I agree.
I'm just that we were done.
Okay, so. So, did you make a motion, Marsha?
I'll make a motion that we have Gary to find out the cost for us on having SDSO do that for us.
I'll second that.
Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Sure. Okay. Item N, surplus equipment list for action. You're asking us to approve that list. Is that correct, Dave?
That is correct. The added items, yes.
Correct.
Just so the board knows that I plan on having an auction in May, if you guys accept this. Mm-hmm. Sometime in May, I'll meet the auctioneer tomorrow. But whatever the weather gets better, too. So.
You're going to clean up in that event trailer?
Yes.
Not on here, but yeah.
And that will be advertised, at least, the very least, in the paper. Are you going to advertise that?
Oh, yeah.
Any other?
Yeah, it's going to be advertised. Actually, the event trailer is on Flatline 45.
But is the auctioneer doing the advertising as well?
Yeah, it'll be on the internet. And I think what they're going to do is have internet auction as well as live in person. So.
Okay.
That's a good day. I see right now. Okay.
So any discussion from the board? Sue, Tim?
I mean,
just as long as we get a good auctioneer and he's able to
professional
get out in the, like on the net and so forth.
Okay, so we, do we have a motion?
Make a motion. You have a question.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick question. No, I can't make reference. Line item number 30, Gary. Lot 18. None of that equipment was associated with their pre-purchase for the green building?
No. Those electrical boxes were, they're up in the storage in a warehouse. They're old, I think they're old RV park boxes.
Okay,
thank you. And John, electrical boxes for the green building inside.
Right. Yeah, nothing on the green buildings in this list at all. It's all in the warehouse boatyard.
I make a motion that we, did we already have a motion?
No, I don't think so. Yes. Let me add one more question. I'll find a question. Is this a no reserve auction?
I don't know about a no reserve auction.
Are you talking a minimum bid?
Yeah, hidden minimum bid. It's just going to be straight. Highest bid wins without regard to reserve?
Yeah, it'd be highest bid wins.
Well, I understand the highest bid.
I think we're established minimum amounts for...
Especially on some of the bigger items. Mm-hmm.
Anything you get out of them better than what we got.
Maybe Gary can make a phone call and get that answer for Tim.
I meet with him tomorrow.
So, we're going to answer for you, Tim, on that.
I'd prefer a no reserve, actually. Okay.
So I move that we move forward with an auction on this surplus equipment.
You get a second?
I second it.
Gary, roll call.
Sharon?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
So unanimous. I only had one public comment before the board today. That was John Brazil. Did you already request to...
I think we postponed it until the next meeting.
Okay, and what was that? Oh, okay. Okay, I got you.
The board postponed it in order to could address it later
today. Right, okay. Okay, so commissioner's report. Sharon, you got anything to report?
Well, with all the rain, it's kind of hard to get around, but I did go down onto the dock and see ND. And if you go too far out there, the port office is requesting that you at least have a life jacket on if you're by yourself, because it isn't very safe down there.
And, I'll reflect that. Sorry, Sharon.
Okay.
But we've had several people fall in the water here in this port that I know personally. One of them this past crab season, 30-year-old man, a fairly strong man, you know, fairly strong. He could not pull himself up onto the docks. He had boat lines, he had cleats. There's nothing down there but a slimy, slimy piece of cement. And when you try to get any traction with your tennies or boots or whatever you got on, you're not getting to get any traction on that moss, on that cement block that's floating there below the water. There was another time, there was a man, my son and I lived on our boat. He fell in the water. Same thing. Very capable man. Don't know how long he'd been there, but we heard him yelling in the middle of the night, and another one that I witnessed. It's very difficult to pull yourself out of the water here. So I guess what they're saying, take those warnings really seriously on those docks. They're dangerous. And if you fall in the water, it's too late then. You hope somebody is going to be around to hear you holler or help you get out of that water, because you've got about 15 to 18 minutes.
And I've also noticed there's a lot of trip hazards. The docks are
exactly,
not even
exactly what I'm getting at.
Set, so
they're dangerous.
Watch your steps.
Yes, Jan.
Any chance to put a ladder on each dock?
Though that has been talked about, Jan, and I think Gary is nothing but safety. I don't know if it can be done, if it can't be done, or what. But some kind of, there's a bazillion things we could talk about tonight and a bazillion things we could do for the fort, but, you know, safety is definitely one of them. Roger, anything to report?
Yes, I really appreciated getting to go up to Salem with Gary and get to meet the people up there. It was very interesting to go up to meet the senators and representatives. He was a very good host for me. I enjoyed it. Hope to go again someday. I also would like to thank Gary for all the information we get today on an almost daily basis. We come through my emails now, and that's a lot better, and I really appreciate his effort he's putting in, and he's doing a very good job. Thank you.
And I'd like to thank all the people who come to the meetings. We seem to be getting a really good crowd lately. You're getting the information two or three times a month. These meetings here are going much smoother. When I only get one public comment, that's a good meeting for me. Somebody's getting the information. So thank you everybody for coming to the meetings. They're your meeting. Sue?
I'd just like to say I appreciate what Gary's doing, putting in all those hours for very little pay. And people for coming out and showing an interest in our port. Thank you.
Tim?
Just a little detail. But I echo what you're saying, though. On page, on the ones we tabled, it says a month. Is it a month, or is it going to be the next
meeting? Next month meeting.
Next month's meeting here, this location.
Possibly for the action, but we can make action in any of our special meetings.
I understand, but you tabled it to a specific date.
No, I said next month.
Well, it says another thing. Well, no, the ones you said is going to be next month. Okay, as opposed to, all right, it's okay.
You can rephrase that to next meeting. How's that? That could be any time.
That's different. But. Okay, thank you. Thank you all for coming. And you go back and start studying again. revive your theory or something.
Okay, so this meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roy. Let's see, 8:30.
It's not bad.
Don't forget to fix it.
Right, right.
I get the elevator and push my chair in. I gotta push my chair in.
What? Hey, I didn't want you to get in trouble.
What?
I didn't want you to get in trouble. I didn't want you to get in trouble. That's why I gave you
that.
She's the
that bitch sat back there smiling at me and really pisses me off. I know she didn't get very much money. It cost me a penny. Well, she's been down here. We don't charge her for two places she has on her bus spaces. That's wrong. She's got her contract, she's got exclusive. A lot of people see down here has two private two bus spaces she doesn't pay for.
We got a contract out of it, Roger. I'm happy to get the business. Yeah. You want to? She's got to go to the League of Women Voters. Thanks, John.
The only reason I is that I sent her an email and I got an acknowledgement that you got it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about something about the fire boat or something.
No, I was referencing.
Right. Okay. And Gary told me something about that thing, some fire safety and all that.
Are you? Yeah. And I called the.
There's going to be a setup.
I've got a